to the Daytime Confidential podcast, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, we discuss All My Children's final week on ABC, relive the moments we loved, and prepare for Pine Valley's next chapter on the web. We hope you enjoy, so stay tuned. Jillian, welcome.
Hey.
And a shout out to our beloved Reagan, who's celebrating a birthday. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Well,
how dare you, Reagan? How dare you pull your support for Langley's confidential, I don't know, where am I, daytime confidential? This is your Aunt Phoebe.
Okay, Jamie, what'd you think? What was your favorite moment of the final week of All My Children on ABC?
Oh, the last episode. I mean, the last episode was great. That montage at the beginning of the births, so clever, so yes. Well done, so primetime-esque. I love that they, you know, filmed a scene of Erica being born, since, you know, we know Erica was already, as Susan Lucci tells us, 15 when the show began, the character. So I loved that. And I loved how they kind of showed that the people in Pine Valley today were descended from Pine Valley past. And I thought that was amazing. But my favorite moment, my favorite moment of the week was the final scene, Susan
Frankly,
Lucci.
My dear.
Yeah, Erica Kane has always been a combination of that nasty little girl from Mildred Pierce and Scarlett O'Hara. So having Jack, you know, give her the rent.
After all these years, he found his balls.
I loved the way that scene was set up, but I was yelling, shut up, Jack, the whole TV show. I'm like, do you know how hard it is for an actress to get a movie role after 30, let alone at 70? Erica Kane had better go and do that. What are you talking about? You tried to hold her back, Jack.
Reagan, what was your favorite moment of the week?
I have to agree. From the minute that last episode opened, it was like, okay, they have everybody pretty much with their tissues already out. I mean, there was no doubt from the beginning that it was going to be a great ending for network television. It was a great way to open that episode. It was a great ending. I mean, there was nothing that had you really disappointed. The ending of the last couple of Procter & Gamble soaps, I think there was a few disappointments for some fans. They weren't soaps that were near and dear to me, so we'll let you guys discuss that a little later. But
Erica Kane in her sequined hair upswept looking gorgeous was better than Kim Zimmer in flip-flops and a moon. Yeah.
And we will discuss that in a bit. Jillian, what was your favorite moment of the week?
I just can't, relegate it to one. I mean, the second one was when we found out that Stuart was alive.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
I was happy. I was like, thank you, Agnes, for fixing the bullshit that Chuck Pratt did with his silly self. I was so mad at that. And then, the birthing scenes, when they started with Erica and then, Bianca and this one and that one. I liked that. I thought that was really, they were trying to do like a full circle moment, I guess. I liked it. I liked it. And Jack telling Erica, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn what you want, Erica. I literally screamed.
I did too. I was like, whoa!
I said, Jack! And then I had him. I was like, damn, Jack, and my boy Greg from Empire, we were watching it together. And he was just like, wow. He was like, Erica doesn't take his penis. And I was like,
everybody thinks Opal is a psychic. Jack, that wasn't about breaking up with Erica. Look, the tarot cards told Jack J.R. was about to pop somebody. So he got the hell out of Dodge.
Well, you guys have mentioned Erica and Jack, but for me, probably probably my two favorite moments of the week both had to do with Chandler's. Marion and Stewart's reunion.
Oh, that was very
absolutely
sweet.
Loved it, because one of my all-time favorite All My Children moments was Marion and Stewart's Valentine's wedding. So for me, that was full circle. And then, of course, when Adam proposed to Brooke. Absolute heaven. Well, Jamie,
you know, I was tweeting that. I was like, girl, you know, he slept with the nanny the last time y'all got back. You better stop that.
Wasn't it nice to see the Chandler maid back for the finale?
Yes.
Yeah, that was nice too.
Okay.
I loved Sarah Michelle though. I loved Sarah Michelle this week. Yes. I thought it was so funny.
That was so cute.
I just loved all the tongue-in-cheek humor about it all. That was great. You know, I think she having her on was, like, just perfect also. So I loved all that.
Well, let's talk about the cameos. What were your guys' favorite cameos? Not even if it was just took place in this past week, but leading up to the finale. Jamie?
The only one I really – and, you know, this is hard for me because Carol Burnett is my favorite comedian, but I just didn't find that whole episode funny at all. I mean, it just – It missed the humor of her previous stints. The only cameo I really enjoyed was Sarah Michelle. I thought that was cute. I loved the fact that they teased us with her thinking she was Erica Kane's daughter, because you know it's like a mind screw. It's like, huh? You know,
yeah. and the mention by Kendall about her playing it.
Yeah, you know, I like that. Having Leo, you know, I have to be real with everything. Having Leo, Babe, and Jillian all be figments of imaginations was pointless. I mean, I hate to
say those scenes with Babe and JR, though, watching those, I remember how much I hated Babe, the character, but Babe and JR, it was like, God damn.
That was the best. Y'all just talking with such potted mouths today. What in the world?
I know you ain't talking.
No, the thing of it is with the Babe one was, in my opinion, the best use of storytelling, because that was an epic ending for when JR screamed out, yeah, whatever he did, that guttural, you know, I loved that. But with Leo and Jillian, I thought it was just wasted. I'm like, okay. Yeah. If I had to deal with this Orpheus project, couldn't somebody, you know, we actually cared about Come Back from the Dead? I mean, yeah, I care about Dixie. I love Dixie, but Dixie is like Kitty from South Park or whatever.
Oh, my God, they killed Dixie. Yes, Kenny.
Dixie come back every year. You can set your clock. Dixie is like Hope and Marlena on days. That hoe ain't never dead. But I'm like, so if you had to do this big sci-fi, I'm glad that Stewart came back. Nobody ever really believed Zach was dead. I'm like, okay, I didn't really like this story, but come on, Leo. And, you know, and from what I gather, Leo was supposed to come back in the original, you know, before Prospect Park stepped in, Leo was supposed to be alive. But I don't know. To me, those were just repetitive, you know, and especially the dialogue with the Leo and Greenlee ones and the Ryan and Jillian.
Do they have the chemistry?
Because let me tell you why I didn't like him, Mr. Winfrey. the reason why I didn't like him is because when John Black saw Marlena on Days of Our Lives on that pier, Isabella wasn't even on his mind. That was the love of his life. He thought about Isabella late on in the day. Greenlee was like, I love you, but I love Ryan. Bull honky. I'm sorry. Bull hockey. Bull snocky.
I'm like, bull honky?
Sweaty balls. I'm like, Brian Fries, you are manipulating to the end. There is no way that girl saw Leo and she's even thinking about Ryan. That's more that training us who to love. There's no way Ryan saw Jillian and he was thinking about Greenlee. It ain't no way. Well, even in his dreams.
You know, they both said in interviews that, you know, they went off the reservation, so to speak, with that. Because they've said in interviews that Cameron Matheson has said Jillian has always been Ryan's greatest love. And Rebecca Budig is like, Leo has always been Greenlee's greatest love.
But in the interviews, it's fine. But on the show, to the very end, they're trying to force us to believe that Ryan and Greenlee are each other's greatest loves.
Jillian, what was your favorite cameo?
My favorite cameo, I think, with Justin Bruning coming back.
Oh, Jamie.
I loved, Ryan and Jillian. They were my favorite couple.
Oh, they were like my Frisco and Felicia of this show. I loved
like,
them.
Like, them wasting her on there. If you were going to do that, I mean, I know we did go in on them bringing all these dead folks back. But if you were going to stick with that as David being the, the holy man of Pine Valley, I would have liked to see a little bit more. It was, to me, totally wasted with that. Justin Bruning, when he comes there and he's talking to JR and is just trying to be a good brother and trying to reach out to him. And when he tells it, when Friday's episode, when he told him, he's like, as much as I love babe, I'm glad she's dead so she cannot see what you've become. Yes. I was like, oh, that was so good. I was like, and that was your rival telling you that. I'm like, that was so amazeballs. I loved it.
One thing that was funny for me, though, is how again, harkening back to the Dixie comes back to the dead all the time. Nobody had any type of oh my god reaction that came back to town. Joan Ruth was just like, hey Dixie.
Yeah.
I'm like, part of this heifer was dead.
Well, they might have been, someone probably called them.
Yeah, you have to use that assumption, but I think
she's been back in town for several weeks. Still, you think that someone in the Martin family would call and say, oh, she's alive.
Yeah, I'm sure they texted and Facebook.
But still, I think it's better for us to imagine that they're all just so used to her coming back from the dead.
If you tell me that my grandmother is alive in Texas, when I get, even though I know it on the phone, when I get there, I'm still going to have a reaction.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, hey, Dixie girl, that's a cute haircut.
Reagan, who are your favorite cameos?
Obviously, like I said, Sarah coming back was great. I just loved all the tongue-in-cheek humor again. And I loved Jamie's return. Justin, he was fantastic. And I have to agree with Jamie. With all of these, everybody being a vision or a figment and not actually coming back from the dead, babe, Alexa Havens, her coming back was the best usage of that. That's how you do it. And none of this cheesy pumping up somebody else or, taking a trip down memory lane and the sweet this and sweet that. That's how you do it. If somebody's going to have this vision of their dead love as a way to try and get through to them type of thing, that's how you do it. So,
well, obviously I loved Leo and Greenlee's reunion, even if there was pimping going on.
Well, it was nice, but,
But, oh, yes, and they still ooze chemistry. But I agree. For me, it was Babe because I hated that character. But Alexa Havens was always fantastic in the role. And, I mean, we had the terrible Babe after she left. When she's back, you see the chemistry between her and Jacob Young, and it was fantastic. Let's talk about a little bit more about some of the other people in Pine Valley. Jamie, Angie's glaucoma has cleared up.
I know, and not only that, Angie must have gotten a hair.
I love that we're still calling it glaucoma.
Angie must have gotten her aesthetics degree in her spare time because she can take some natural slick back hair and turn it into a weave ponytail with a perm during a commercial break. But Angie got her sight back. I've been mad at Jesse this whole storyline because I'm sorry. Jesse and Angie are one of the greatest love stories of all time. The greatest black love story on soaps of all time, bar none. And I would be divorcing Jesse. I would be putting paperwork on Jesse because you couldn't bury my baby in no park where the dog could dig it up. That is a public park. You don't bury no baby out there like that's a poodle. It's like somebody have a business to dig that baby up and take it to the cemetery. You don't just bury no baby in the park. What kind of mess is this? That's something you would read about in the National Enquirer. Jesse need to go to jail. He need to go to jail, and Angie need to file for divorce. course. That's
not that be like abuse of a corpse or something.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I interviewed her on the red carpet, you know, I was like, you know, so what's going to happen with them? You know, and she's like, I asked her about that. I'm like, come on now. You know, I'm like, sister to sister. Now, let's be real. She was like, well, they've been through so much. I mean, he did abandon her for 20 years and she took him back. She was funny about it. She was like, so I'm like, yeah, abandonment versus
just lay the pike.
I know, cause
my baby in no park.
You know, I'm like abandonment versus your flesh. I'm
like a bird or something.
Yeah,
that ain't Frankie's pet iguana. That's a baby. But you know,
well, speaking of Frankie,
that could have been a good way. You know, but of course they didn't know she was leaving at that point. But that could, you know, busting them up could have been a good way for her to leave the show, you know.
They could have left it open-ended. I think they could have left it where a situation, you know, even though they didn't know, they could have been like, Angie could have been like, Jesse, I have to go somewhere and think about this. I have to spend time by myself and think about
it. I got to go be with Cassie. That's what I would have
done.
Damn,
there you go.
I need some time alone. But, you know, I also understand that they had to have a twofold purpose with this show. They had to give everybody that might not follow it online
some closure.
You know, their happily ever afters. Yeah. But I'm like, to me, that would have been a perfect, like, I'm through with you, Jesse. You know, and that'd be her last scene with her, you know. Because, you know, I mean, if you're doing Gone with the Wind, I mean, go ahead and do one with them, too, where she's like, I don't know if I can forgive you for turning my child into fertilizer.
And when you come back to Prospect, you know, Jesse, so what happened with Angie? You know that trick left me. You know,
yes.
Something like that. You know?
Oh, so, it was a good ending for them, too. Randy might be pregnant. I was like, dog, don't shoot a JR. I don't believe in you.
Like, me, I was like, oh, who let this girl procreate?
Yes.
I thought Randy couldn't have a baby. Didn't they do a story where she couldn't have a baby? I don't know. I didn't really pay much mind to her stories over the years. But
well, for good reason. I thought and also
had some kind of problem because of her days or something. I don't know. I thought Greenlee was going to have the miracle baby, so I guess I was like, okay, well, glad that didn't happen since they flat out established Greenlee couldn't have a baby. So she would have been like, guess what, Ryan? I would have been like, oh, here we go.
And we did get to see a whole bunch of kids at Kendall's house running through the house.
Starting lineup, shit.
I would have been drunk and on Oxycontin. I couldn't. I'd be slurring and falling over the bed upstairs. They'd be like, where did Jamie go? That was a party in my family because all them kids would have just driven me insane. I don't blame her. Don't call me. Get out of here.
One of the nice touches that I thought this last week was when they actually had the characters talk to the camera. And we got to see that some, especially in Kendall and Bianca's reaction to the movie and the book. Reagan, what did you think of how the Kane women progressed over the course of the week? And where do you think things will go in the new era?
I think it was all done pretty well. I don't know. I think without Susan Lucci and with Alicia Minshew only maybe part-time, I don't think this version of Bianca is a strong enough Bianca for the longtime fans of All My Children and for her to be the only representation of this family. So I think with them making the move, I wouldn't be upset now that Eden's free, that maybe Prospect Park should approach her and see if about her coming on board. That would be
Eden
my
said once bitten, twice shy with that show. You see how
yeah, but different leadership. Different leadership.
Jamie, Zach and Kendall got their happy ending, but what about Griffin? I know how much you loved him with her.
I did, but you know, game recognizes game. Zindel is a very popular fan base. They had to give him their happily ever after. What I didn't like is this whole business of turning a multinational corporation into a foundation. I love that they got to mention Myrtle's name, but if Rupert Murdoch went in tomorrow and told the News Corp board, I'm going to turn this into the Betty White Foundation, they would have him carted off in a white coat. You can't just turn a company into a charitable foundation.
Warren Buffett's giving away $32 billion.
Yeah,
and Bill Gates is giving away a fortune.
Okay, if you can I answer my questions, Uncle Henry? Yeah, you can give that away, but you cannot turn a corporation just like that with a snap of the fingers. You right. can't turn Walmart into the Salvation Army. It's like, you know, and plus I'm like, I don't know why there's always that. We watch soaps because we like rich people. I don't want to think about what is Ryan going to do now? Walk around looking at Greenlee grinning and skinning, and I guess Zach is just going to watch hockey and sleep with Kendall. That's not interesting. I mean, I don't know. I didn't like that whole we're just done. You know, I'm glad they got rid of the Cambius name, but why didn't they just change the name to Slater Lavery? But no, I'm glad they got their happy ending. I don't, you know, I mean, what, it's funny knowing what we know and stuff like that. It was, you know, it's hard to, because I'm like, okay, yeah, you can already go into a lot of fanfic and wishful storytelling about what will happen next. But then it's like, well, hell, are we even going to have Kendall and Zach? So, I mean, how do we know? I mean, Alicia Mitch, you told the Hollywood Reporter she was done but would recur. But then she told Soap Opera Digest. And I'm like, girl, you about to make me need a Dramamine. Because, you know, I reported a while back what she ended up almost telling the Hollywood Reporter verbatim, that she was done with the role. And then she told Soap Opera Digest again what I said about her husband being based in New York. But when I ran it, it was like, that ain't true. Don't be saying that. And I'm like, okay. I didn't even link the Soap Opera Digest piece because I'm like, I'm just going to wait until there's an official yay or nay with Alicia, because every 3 weeks there's something new. And I get that. This is a huge, and I love Alicia Minshew. Don't know her as a person, but, you know, I get that. You know, these people have, you know, because I don't want anyone to go, Jamie's being nasty again. No, I get it, because these people have been, as Chaka Khan would say, put through the fire. They had to pick up their lives and move to L.A. And then, you know, now it's like, we go to the web. Well, we don't know how we're going to pay y'all, but okay, we got some money. Okay, we got to go to the union. You know, I mean, so I get it. I get why they're gunshot. They're like, look here, y'all ain't finna have us. You know, we signed on the dotted line, and then next thing we know, we in PPAC New Jersey with some handicaps on our nostrils. So, you know.
No, they still got that leasing. Don't they still have that leasing thing out in PPAC?
Well, yeah, they just ready for another soap to come out there and die. But no, you know, I'm just like, I get why they're gun-shy, but a lot of it, I mean, and that's what our business is, to report what we know, but there's a lot of uncertainty. We have two cast members that have signed on. So I'm like, well, at this point, the only thing you can speculate is that, you know, Ryan, and look, if it's like the Garden of Eden, there's only two people in that bitch. So look, Ryan, Google behind that camera.
I don't blame them for being gun-shy about the peepback thing, because you know who writes for all my children over there?
Lotto. Well, you know who I love, though? Listen. Oh. Lizzie Hartley is ride or die. She got raped and abused and destroyed on Passions for 9 seasons on NBC and DirecTV.
Uh-huh.
She was the first to
That girl is a true
She a thug. She's like, whatever.
Soap champion. After everything they took Teresa through on Passions, she went to Days and they killed off.
And she had so much potential there.
They canceled the show. They taken it to the. She is like, I'm cool. I'm ride or die. You want a Lizzie Hartley with you in the hood, because she is there.
I don't know if she'd be ride or die if they were to go out to PPAC. If Prospect says, yeah, we're going out to PPAC. You know, we have that lucky goal that writes for us. And, you know,
where I have to commend Brian Franz, and I know that sounds crazy, but I always believe in giving credit where credit's due, and since I've shit on him so much, deservedly so, but the one thing Brian Franz did say when God and Light got canceled was that no matter what, even if he had to cancel his shows, they would not go out looking like that. And I have to say, I'm glad, because it could have been a situation like that where ABC was like, well, we're not going to cancel y'all, but we're going to cut y'all budget in half, and y'all got to, we're going to lease some farms. And I'm glad. If they would have said another year of All My Children on network TV, but they go to handy cams and on location in New Jersey, I would have said, cancel it. Cancel it. Give me one last shot of Erica looking fabulous with her upswept sideways ponytail. You know, then Kim Zimmer in that as a free. I got that from a friend. Shout out, you know who you are. He was like, well, the ending was better than Kim Zimmer and a Moomoo and flip flops at a lighthouse. And I'm like, I know that's right. I would rather see what we saw on All My Children than that. And
yeah.
Do y'all remember Paul, Lisa, and As the World Turns? You know, John Dixon! It's like, that's all
she wasn't even in the final episode.
No, that's what I'm saying. Her last scene was like, what are you doing back here, John Dixon? We had never seen him again. Never see him again! The first
Two people we did see was Joe and Ruth. They returned this last week to Pine Valley for a Martin family reunion. Jillian? What did you think of their return and the other happenings in the Martin family?
I thought it was appropriate. I actually would have liked for him to say something instead of Michael E. Knight. I'm just saying that for me, because he's the patriarch of that family. So, but it was appropriate to have the Martins come on back to town after, you know, they did them dirty. So, you know.
They told Michael E. Knight, look at here, you made the jump. You done dealt with Ted having to give that same, oh my God, Dixie, you're back. Look.
Yeah.
He said, look, I'm going to get his speech, Daddy.
I loved Michael E. Knight's speech. I thought it was.
It was very good.
I didn't hate on the speech, but I was just saying, I wish it would have been Papa Martin.
I thought it was appropriate that it came from Tad since Joe hadn't been around. I mean, I wouldn't have minded it if it was Joe, but I just think the fact that, you know, they just sort of popped up and were there for all of 5 minutes at that point, I just felt like it coming from Tad was fine and appropriate.
And
Michael E. Knight knocked it out of the park, so I was very happy with it, and it was, you know, the right amount of pulling at your heartstrings for the, you know, for the lifelong
game. I'm just glad it wasn't Ryan Lavery.
Absolutely.
That's what you know they wanted. You know somebody pitched that. Brian was like, what about if Ryan? And all the writers said, no! Look, Andy said, you son of a bitch, I done let you destroy my show. Wait, that's my Lisa voice. You know, Agnes kind of has that southern twang.
The thing about it is, though, I think that Joe also got a line. I don't remember the exact wording of it, but I remember thinking, oh, that was a nice touch when he and Ruth actually arrived at Tad's house. Yeah. He got a line in there. He didn't get it in the final speech, but he did get one of those nods to All My Children in those scenes.
Yeah, he gave an interview a few years ago, though, that said he was tired of giving the speeches. When John Callahan joined the show and they started having Edmund talk a lot, Ray McDonald was like, I am so glad John Callahan is here, because at every event they always had him getting up and talking. And so he was like, I'm cool. I said, you know, my friend told me that too. And I was like, you know, I guess they were like, look, we're going to come. We just want to stand here, collect this check, and get our asses back to New York City before Brian Franz pushes us out in the middle of the street. You know, you don't like old people.
Now, Reagan, Jamie touched on Tad and Dixie earlier. What did you think of their ending?
It's predictable, for lack of a better word. It's what you expected. I'm fine with it, obviously, but it wasn't anything exciting, I guess, because it's just what you expected them to do. And what else were they going to do? Right? Okay. I mean, don't know what I am not mad at it. I'm not going to say it was the best thing ever because it's just, you know, she came back from the dead again. They got engaged again and, you know, that's how it all ends.
And when they go to Prospect Park, oh, she drank
we
some.
We go round and round again. Drank, this is the song that
No, it'll be like, you know,
I had that stuck in my head earlier this week. You do not need to put it back there.
I thought that their stuff was cute. I'm glad that for the first time in years, the humor and cutesiness of Tad and Dixie was back because
they did a fine job. It's just,
I'm just saying, you know, the last couple of times she came back with all this angst and, you know, oh, I don't know where my daughter is. Oh, my baby. Oh, I got a bad heart. Oh, my bad heart made me want to hump David.
Are we supposed to assume that the other person is their daughter? Wait, didn't one of their daughters die?
They got that little baby.
Oh, that's right. I get so confused about these people that were dead and came back.
Look, Tad, I'm going to tell you who the kids are, Reagan. Tad got Kate by Dixie, and he got Jenny by Crystal. Christmas. And they all live in there like sister wives, like on Big Love.
I know. What is that?
Kendall got Spike by Ryan and Ian by Zach. Miranda is Bianca's. And then Gabrielle, who also belongs to Zach. That's the one he held up like Simba.
Yeah.
Then Ryan got Emma with Crazy Annie. Green Lane got no kids. And who was the mother kids in there? J.R.'s was that little boy with the long hair. That's Adam Jr., the third.
The one where JR said he's not letting his kid be raised by any lesbians.
My children be raised.
We got one baby. She got.
I was like, no, they did not. Just have him say that.
Well, but the thing
that's
about it is.
Fertile Town in. Although, really, though, Lily Snyder had all those children by herself. It's that many children by herself.
But, you know, the thing about the finale, which sort of, Reagan brings up JR talking about the lesbians. As I was watching, and she also made the point about the fact that this Bianca is not one that people really, if you've been a longtime fan, are drawn to. But watching those scenes, all I was thinking was, God, if Eden Regal was in this role after everything, I mean, if Eden Regal was there, we get Alexa back for the cameo, having that history between Jacob Young's JR and Eden Regal's Bianca as they're facing off over their kids once again, it would have been fantastic. And I've not been a fan of Christina Bennett Lind as Bianca, but in the finale, it just seemed more glaring. The fact that it just seems so shallow is like, here's Jacob Young knocking it out of the park, and we're getting this flat response about Bianca's role. And there's so much history between JR and Bianca. And it was just, it was one of my low points just because I didn't feel like she doesn't carry the weight of the character that character needs. But let's talk about Project Orpheus for a bit because, Jamie, you were upset in the lead up to the finale. Too many people, miracles, coming back to life, maybe or maybe not. But David ended up being the savior of Pine Valley.
He's been
redeemed. He's going to be a father and have a baby.
Did you think it was a bit much that he was like everybody was, especially Angie, how great David was? Didn't you think it was a little overkill?
I'll tell you what that was. Angie wants some of that Peter Weeder.
Oh, no!
Angie, that's chemistry right there. I was, you know what? If this show was going on, that could have saved it. Danji could have put that on the map. If I was writing this show, when Angie found out that Jesse buried her baby in the park like a pet parrot, she should have turned to David. And they should have done a slow build, you know, longing, yearning, searching, reaching looks.
And what type of love song would they have played during this?
Something dirty and saucy.
Freaking you?
He brush her hair out of her face one day. And, they both meet at the grave after she move her baby to a proper cemetery. You know, and he be there visiting Lee Arena. Or whatever his baby was.
Leora.
Leora. Leora. That's the ugliest. That's why that baby died, because she didn't want to grow up with no name called Leora. One of my grandmama's friends in the old folks' home. Leora? Come on, honey. It's time. Your okra is ready. Don't no baby want to be named no Leora. That's an old name. An old woman in Texas. An old black woman in Texas who cans her own peaches. But anyway, I would
have. Wait. What is wrong with canning?
Oh my God. That's all you got out of that?
No. As someone who comes from a family where what is wrong with canning?
We don't want to hear Alonzo Wilder from Little House on the Prairie. No. What are you about your pioneer day?
There is nothing wrong with putting up food for the winter.
Oh my God. Chuck a can of peach at his head. Shut up.
What thing to say to you? I can't think of it. Here we go. Darling, I love you, but give me Park Avenue. Anyway, so yeah, back to my point. You know, I ramble. No, David and Angie could have been like Carl and Rachel, the town villain, the town saint, and then it just shocked everybody. Yes.
That would have been good. I see where you're going.
That love scene, I would have had, look, that ebony on that ivory, the keys just stroking together in perfect harmony. That would have been their song. Ebony and ivory.
See, everything you're describing is what I want to see between Carly and Sean on General Hospital.
I don't care about that show. We're not talking about General
Hospital.
The last episode of Agnes Nixon's My Turn.
What did you guys think of the fact that Griffin became a little bit like David in that he was doing bad things for the right reason? I thought that was a little interesting.
I just don't know why they didn't have him sleep with someone. You don't have no big strapping Latino man on a show all year and he ain't penetrated nobody.
Oh my God.
Lord. Okay.
Why has he not penetrated someone?
I'm sorry. Okay.
Ooh, did you really?
That sounds a little bit like what's his name speech at the Emmys for saying that he penetrated Kate Winslet.
Yeah, don't do that.
Waste. He should have penetrated someone in Pine Valley. It is ridiculous.
Well, JR's bullet will have penetrated someone when things pick back up.
JR Podcast probably shot himself.
Jacob Young had a phenomenal week. His acting was fantastic.
He
gonna take that supporting actor Emmy from his crybaby. I love you, Jonathan Jackson, but I'm so sick of you crying. Jacob Young is gonna get that support. He gonna get that supporting actor Emmy. That boy did the doggone thing. I mean, he really should get lead, be nominated for lead. But you know how the things work. You know, they won't let him go up for lead. But yeah, he was phenomenal. He was on point.
His mama off. Oh,
see, and I appreciated the JR versus Erica scenes because when I didn't get what I was looking for with JR versus Bianca. Having Erica Kane bring back and have her confront JR the same way that she did during the baby stealing storylines was great for me. It helped make up for the lack of Bianca versus JR.
I love how it's so real. Pine Valley, Agnes being back has made it a town again. It feels like a town with, because that's how it is in a town. Erica and Adam are still tight because of their two marriages, but she'll threaten his son. He's like, I want Adam, but I can't stand you. And it's like it got back to what it used to be. Even though I did not like Orpheus, it was cool to see all these people in this town interconnected again.
And Brooke proved once again that she is a pivotal part of this town and needs to be back.
Well, yeah, that's never been disputed except by ABC because they want to put you out for grazing after a certain age. Yeah, Brooke should be there. I mean, she's an English. The English is founded Pine Valley. Aunt Phoebe was a daughter of fine lineage.
Here's my question. So they have all these people now that are moving back. So when this hits the web.
That's the thing, Reagan. It's like,
Colby Chandler will be the only person living in the Chandler Mansion.
Telegram told me to tell you she already gone. She on ABC Family. She got her job. But no, it'll be, you know, that they need to move the show back to New York. They need to move the show back to New York. They need to find a joint studio where they can do both shows, because then you can have David Canary. I don't know where Julia Barr is these days, but David Canary, Ray McDonald could recur every once in a while. You know, it needs to be back in New York. That'll make it easier for Alicia Minshew, because that's where her husband's businesses are based. She said that this time. I'm not saying it. So good God Almighty, don't give an interview, Alicia. But, you know, they, you know, Torsten K is there. You know, they need to go on and move that, the show back.
You know, and if they, that's one thing they can sweeten the pot with La Lucci, because she is a New York girl for life.
Yeah, you know, and I think Lucci, and I'm going to go here, you know, because they tried to diss Erica. I mean, Erica, look, I'm acting like she's the same person. But exactly. Deadline's piece, you know, was kind of nasty, talking about she tried to gouge them for money. Gouge my ass. All my children is the house she built. I love that Prospect Park is doing this, but my sources said they didn't even meet Susan Lucci face to face right up to the last minute. You don't, that ain't no way to negotiate with Daytime's grand dame. You know, they should have, the first moment, if, you know, look, if I woke up tomorrow and hit that $80 million lottery in Georgia, I would have met with her first. You know, well, right after Agnes, I would have met with her, because, you know, you got to get Agnes's vision, because, you know, as long as Agnes is on Earth, she need to be, you know, penning story for that show. But, you know, you should have met with Susan. That's the first lady. You don't, you know, I heard that they did not meet her face to face until like a few days before that Deadline story dropped. That's not any business. You don't
that's
do that.
That's tacky. That's classless.
You know, you have to negotiate. That is thus, you know, that's why I believe Melrose Place, the reboot, failed on the CW, because they didn't have Heather Locklear up front. Had they had Heather Locklear at the beginning, it might have done something. You can't, you know, you can't. And then Susan Lucci is, you know, known outside of soaps. She can walk into a recurring role on Bones, you know, or anywhere. You know, she is Susan Lucci, and she doesn't need to do it. So, you know, you have, that's why I wrote that piece suggesting they give her a cut of the show. I mean, at this point in the game, you know, Carrie, you know, and that's the thing. And somebody in the comments was like, oh, that's ridiculous. And I'm like, you know, here's the thing. In prime time, when you want a heavily weighted star to attach, you give them an executive producer credit. Sometimes that don't mean nothing, but, you know, them,
a little piece of the pie. Yeah.
But I'm like, you know, Sarah Michelle Gellar has an EP credit on Ringer. Susan Lucci needs an EP credit, and you know, and a percentage of the show. And it just, yeah, you treat, you know, you have to treat her like the legend she is. And from what I've always heard, Susan Lucci is one of the most amicable, agreeable people I've heard. She is totally professional. She does not pull diva fits on that show like every person over 50 on the cast of The Young and the Restless. You know, I mean, she is just a professional. She doesn't do that, those shenanigans and stuff you hear about from the Kim Zimmers and the Robin Strassers and the, like I said, the whole cast of The Young and the Restless.
Yeah, I mean,
she is the only one who really could. You know, you got Kim Zimmer giving, I love you, Kim Zimmer, but you give an interview about what you mad about every 3 weeks. Kim Zimmer is, I'm mad. They made me share a dressing room. Shut up. I'm tired of you. You
were sharing a bush. You were sharing a bush. Give me a break.
Susan Lucci has only spoken out once in a negative way. Once in 41 years. You know, whether she might, on behind the scenes, we don't know. She might climb Brian Franz like a tree. But in public, she has been the consummate, you know, professional. And I'm not saying people shouldn't speak out, but when it's the same chorus of people who are never happy, it's like, y'all need to realize it is not 1985 anymore, and People Magazine is not doing center page spreads on y'all, but they are still doing them on Lucci. So, you know, Prospect Park should have handled that better. You know, you don't treat the grand dame like that, you know.
See, this is what makes me realize, you know, as much as we go hard against Eric Braeden, he did point out that this is how this is what networks are doing now. They're not asking you in person to give it that, you know, humanity touch, to give a face to something, to give it that personal touch. It's just a little either over the phone or send an email, fax, tweet, mm-hmm. whatever. And that's really cool.
You can do that with a Yanni Gelman, but you can't do that with a, Oopsie. You know, you can't do that with, and you know what? I've said this before. If I had a time machine to when Braeden was going through his negotiations and I knew now what I've, you know,
yeah.
Because back then I was like, oh, take one for the team. But now I found out the team won't take one for them.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, Eric Braeden was right.
Not bad, Eric.
Yes. It's like Eric Braeden with your angry ass. You were right to show out. You were right to show out because your boss won't take a pay cut. So why should you? But
well, let's talk a little bit more about Prospect Park's All My Children on the Web. That's where we're headed next. Jillian, what would you like to see in that? In that incarnation?
I mean, that's like a broad statement to say. I mean, I would really like for Susan Lucci to go. I really wish Prospect Park would, you know, buy a florist shop and send it to her house and be like, 1,000 pardons. I wish they would break the bank at Tiffany's and be like, 1,000 pardons. Pick out a big old bling to say, my bad, Susan, for not going to her the proper way and try to negotiate with her. Because, you know, I don't blame her for telling Prospect Park kick rocks how they went at her. I would hope that we would see Susan there. I, you know, pick up where we left off with that. You know, I would hope we would see Alicia. I wish Alicia would go there. But if Alicia doesn't want to go, look, I'm going to go there. She recasted, you know, Jamie and I spoke about this before. She recasted someone so she could be recastable. Boom. I mean, she is popular, but it is what it is. If you doing these, I don't know, I'm going to do recurring, but I didn't say that. Prospect just needs to end that with you and be like, okay, you playing reindeer games here, we can find someone to replace you. It's just, I don't know, it's just, I'd have to sit down and think about that some more, but I would hope that the majority of the cast would go. I would hope that they would clean it up some by getting rid of Randy. Yes,
Madison.
Madison. She don't need to be there. I would hope they would get rid of her. I would hope they would get someone who is just as good as Jacob Young to take over that role. Again, he recasted a role, too. It's like, you know.
And they need to recast Bianca.
Yeah, but I really don't think for people who are like, Eden can take that role. Me, I don't know nothing, but after the way they did that girl there, and, you know, I know it's different leadership, but the same chick who allowed Chuck Pratt to talk shit about Eden is still there, Julie Hannon. So I would be a little gun-shy if I was Eden after Julie just let Chuck Pratt just drag her name through the mud. I would be like, nah, I'm good. My husband doing the secret circle, kick rocks trick. I just hope they would clean up the cast a little bit and get rid of some people that don't need to be there and just...
Dead weight?
Yeah, just keep it moving.
Reagan?
You know, every time we would have discussions about what All My Children needed to do to get back on track, I always felt they needed to, like, refocus the show around Erica and her family and her daughters and get it to where they are the center of the show and keep it there and make them the strong Kane women that we've heard about and keep hearing about. And without them signed on and the right Bianca in the role, I just don't know if that vision for me will be there. But I think they need to find their focus. And what that is, I'm not sure. So something needs to be the focus of the show, the center point of the show, whether it be the Martins or a new version of the Chandlers. I don't know, but something they need to find that focus and sort of make it the center point of the show and go with it and take a point off or a note from One Life to Live. And what they just did this in these last couple weeks where things just worked together so well. And that's what everybody loves about One Life to Live, where the stories intertwine so well and feed off each other. That's what makes good soap.
Well, and I agree with you there in terms of a focus. I'm just concerned about this new thing. If Susan Lucci isn't involved, if we don't have a recasted Kendall, JR is, I mean, at this point, the people who we're familiar with, the Chandlers would be decimated. The Canes would be decimated. It makes it leaves a lot of possibilities, and I really do not want to see more siblings of Lavery pop back up in Pine Valley. Jamie, what are your thoughts about Prospect Park's future?
I have a big different view than a lot of people. As much as I love, you know, as I just got through saying, and I'm not contradicting myself, of course they need to get Erica. But for me, the essential thing that they need to do more than anything else, worrying about who will be in the cast of the current show, is they need to go spend some time reading the Bible, the All My Children Story Bible, the first decade of stories, and be re-inspired by Agnes Nixon's original story of a quaint town in Pennsylvania where everybody knew everybody's business. It was a huge clash war between, you know, Mayflower descendant Phoebe Tyler and that common Cain woman, Mona, and her daughter and all their children intermingling. All My Children started pretty much as the template for what we've seen with shows like Everwood and a lot of these little small town teen shows. The show began focused on a quadrangle between rich girl Tara Martin, poor Erica Kane, a poor girl from the wrong side of the tracks whose mom was a single mother, gasp, you know, who aspired to have the money of the Martins and the Brents and the Tylers. You know, she's in love with Phil Brent, the son of, you know, Ruth Britt, a nurse, who is really secretly the son of Ruth's, you know, sister Amy, who is married to Phoebe Tyler, and Amy is a raging liberal, and Phoebe is a conservative snob. And, you know, you just had that, it mirrored what was going on in society, you know, Amy protesting the war, Phoebe wondering if that was going to mess up her son's political ambitions. You need to go back to a small town where everybody is interconnected, everybody knows everybody's business, and play off what's going on in the world today, you know, like Agnes did. Look at the newspapers and deal with what's going on in the world today. You know, they need to tell those kind of stories. And as far as characters, this is my thing. Okay, say if you presented this to me and they were like, none of the people who are here are going to do it. None of them. We're done. You know, what the hell are we going to do? That's when you go and you say, Charlie Brent, the son of Phil and Tara, the show's original super couple, married Cecily, Phoebe's goddaughter. Let's see if the actress who played Cecily, who was wildly popular, is available. Let's see if Charles Van Inman, who played Charlie, is available. If not, there are half a dozen leading men from two Procter & Gamble shows out of work right now. Let's see if John Hensley would be interested in playing Phil Brent. Let's see, you know, if we can get Cecily back with, what is her name? That girl was so popular on the show. The old school fans, yeah, Rosa Nevin played Cecily. Let's see if we can get Charlie and Cecily back. They had children, you know, they had children. I think they had two sons together. So let's bring them back and have their two sons now be teenagers. Let's make Charlie the new principal at Pine Valley High. And you sore ass Miranda and Gabrielle, and you know, and make Miranda every bit as a young bitch as her mother, her grandmother was. And Bianca is the new Mona, not knowing what to do with that mess of a Miranda. You know, that, you know, you just make Miranda Erica Kane all over again.
Yes.
You know, she is, you know, instead of being wanting to be a movie star, she wants to be a reality star. And she's forever pulling a stunt because, you know, she wants Nick Brent, you know, Cecily and Charlie's son. or, you know, or AJ, you know, whoever the boy is that she wants, and she's fighting that, she's fighting Emma Lavery, who is, you know, fragile and shy and worried that she might develop her mother's mental instability. So, you know, you have Miranda, you know, put on Facebook that, you know, Emma Lavery's mother's in the nut house. And, you know, and you have Bianca just forever like, what are you doing, Miranda? And she's like, you shut up, you lesbian. You know, just make her this nasty. You know, just make her a nasty. Because Erica was a nasty little piece of work to Mona. And you make Bianca this long-suffering mother. And you make it to where Miranda is having some issues because, you know, the kids are meddling her because her mom is a lesbian. And she's insecure. And, you know, and then, you know, and then you've let Emma find out that Miranda is the child of rape. And, you know, but Emma doesn't use that against Miranda because she's a good person. You take the template that you see with a lot of these ABC family shows, you recast, you sore ass these kids and rebuild the show around them. And I'm not meaning, you know, newbies, you know, that's such a dirty word, but, you know, once upon a time, Angie and Jesse and Greg and Jenny were all newbies. You just have to tie them to the fabric of the show. If Cameron Matheson, in fact, make Ryan the school teacher, since he just gave up his corporate aspirations, he can
do everything else.
The best way that he can,
I'm hating on him.
The best way Ryan can, you know, because of all the, he felt he couldn't save his sister and brother. Well, he can help save the kids of Pine Valley by becoming a school teacher. And let Greenlee be like, what? We're going to live on a school teacher salary? You know, and that bring back the selfish bitchiness of Greenlee. You know, and you have, there's all those kids, sore ass them and have the parent. And yes, if Alicia doesn't do the show, recast Kendall. I love Alicia Minshew, but, you know, how many, like, again, there is a ton of, Leslie Kay is Kendall Hart. I mean,
ooh, that's good.
Not that difficult. There are a ton of actresses out of work. You know, and you have really contemporary stories with these teenagers. You have them, you know, you have Gabrielle. You know, look, the original All My Children was based on secrets and lies. Phil Brent didn't know that his Aunt Amy was really his mama. So maybe Gabrielle grows up not knowing that Zach is her dad. And that comes out at some shocking moment and causes her to go out and do crystal meth. Or, you know, there's all sorts of, it's 41 years of history is what I'm trying to say that you can draw from. It's not just about whether or not the 20 people that are now on this show do it. This is a show with 40 years of history. They were going to do the New Dallas without Larry Hagman until he signed at the last minute. If you can go forward with a plan to reboot Dallas without Larry Hagman, you can do. Dallas only lasted 13 seasons. This show has 41 years of history. History has become such a dirty word with this, you know, with the last few years of these idiots who ran daytime into the ground. Chuck Pratt, I'm not going to write to character. But this show has 41 years of history that you can borrow from. There are still Tylers out there. You know, Link and Kelly could have had some children that come back to town. You know, there's all those famous places in the town. You know, someone could buy, Crystal could decide to buy Myrtle Fairgate's boarding home, and that'd be a new place for a new group of Pine Valley U students to come and live. There's just so much that could be done with this rich 41-year history with this show. It's not all about, oh, my Lord, are they going to be able to get Randon, Keisha?
You've mentioned Pine Valley's 41 years of history, and you are absolutely right. They need to take a look at the Bible. But with those 41 years of history, you still believe that next week is the most important week in soaps in a long time?
Yes, I do. Next week, I said, you know, I'm going to do a post about that. It really is. Next week, the week, you know, the first week after All My Children, in my opinion, this is the most essential week in soaps since Luke and Laura's wedding. Because All My Children is off the air. Days of Our Lives is being rebooted. There's a reality show premiering, Dirty Soap, about soaps. Y&R is bringing on Debbie Morgan. Jacob Young is back at B&B. Everybody is trying their best to get the spoils of the war. You know, they're trying to, you know, the talk is going to have All My Children leading men cooking and shit.
Opposite of the Chew.
Yeah, not opposite of the Chew. They don't air
or on the same day, sorry.
Yeah, and you know, yeah, and you know, I opposite One Life to Live, which let you, I'm gonna let you know, I'm sorry, I won't be watching Michael Knight cook no ham hocks on, because I'm gonna be watching, and any good soap fan should be watching One Life to Live. You know, but yeah, there's a lot going forward. It the five, and then there were five. It's time to put up or shut up. These shows have got to get the lead out, and I think Ken Corday realizes that. He's not waiting until renewal time. Somebody needs to look. The Holy Ghost needs to appear to Sony in a dream and let them know you need to lead Young and the Restless out of Egypt and away from Pharaoh, aka Eva. I mean, not Evita, Maria Antoinette.
Evita.
Maria Antoinette. They need to lead Nikki and Victor out of Egypt into the night. Moses needs to
go.
Let people go. Look, K. Chancellor and them need to be rushing through Egypt in the middle of the night while Maria's asleep, because they need to lead them out of Egypt. Because the socialite showrunner is going to put that show in the ground. I hope that they realize that. The Bold and the Beautiful's ratings are not good either, but I trust Brad Bell that he will turn this around. They need to get a handle on the younger demos, because they don't tell stories well at B&B for younger people anymore. They're amazing with Ridge, Brooke, Stephanie, you know, the people. But I am totally not interested in this Hope Liam.
No.
I like my virginity. Keep your filthy paws away from my silky draws storyline that they have going. There is no way in 2011 that you dating somebody that looks like Scott Clifton and you ain't letting him jiggle your wiggle. But, you know, they got to get better is what I'm saying.
What are your final thoughts on All My Children's Week then?
My final thought is, this should have been done after Chuck Pratt. When Chuck Pratt was ousted, this type of week should have been done. You know, this is the time where you don't play the beats. When your show has been destroyed, you just need to reboot quick. You just need to gather up all the elements, get rid of the ugly, you know, wash that gray right out of your hair, and move forward. And I pray that I pray that this show will do well online. That is my final thought. I pray that both of this. I'm very happy. Look, I'm gonna do my Oprah. I'm very happy that Frank Valentini has been put in charge of both shows. I'd be even happier if I heard that Gary Tomlin would be running All My Children, because he's the only other executive producer who knows how to balance a checkbook in daytime.
What about Ron Carlovati writing for both of them? Wouldn't that be great?
No, it wouldn't. I don't want him writing for both. Nobody could write for two shows but Bill Bell. It burns people out. You know, Ron needs to write One Life to Live. But no, when my boy Riley was writing Days and Passions, we had New Salem. And
okay.
I'm happy that Frank Valentini is in charge of both shows. I hope that he'll get rid of Julie Hannon Carruthers. And I hope that going forward, they distance themselves from ABC. Prospect Park, you did a good thing in bringing on Frank. Get Ron to write the show. But, and you know, bring on some writers from the past like Tom Racina and Sally Sussman Morena to help out. But don't bring on no David Christmans or anybody like that. Get the lead out. Get rid of these people who have helped destroy the genre. Get rid of them. Do not hire any public relations or marketing people.
Oh, Jesus.
ABC Daytime. Mark my words. They do not like soap operas. Jory Peterson, that Adam Rockmore, the vice president of marketing, he came from Food Net or whatever, Food Network. They've never liked soaps. It is shown in everything they've done. They've had a disdain for this industry, and they helped destroy it on purpose. Do not hire these people. Do not hire anybody from the public relations and marketing team from ABC. They're lazy. They're even, you know, I'm an asshole. I know why they wouldn't work with me, but I have heard it over and over again. Other blogs, We Love Soaps, would try to get Lori from One Life to Live, get back to them. Lori Hogan, whatever her name is.
Hogan.
You couldn't get back to them. I've heard people at the magazine say it. You won't get back to Soap Opera Digest when it's time for an interview. They're lazy, they're shiftless, and they helped destroy this industry. Do not hire these people.
Do I would not hope they would have sense not to hire them. I think they got their own PR people.
Who love daytime soap operas. There are professionals out there who love daytime soap operas, who get the genre, who don't just sit their asses around and be lazy all day and want to get on reality shows and do cameos. No, you hire people, you hire good people. You hire people who understand social media. You hire people who, you know what they are doing. Don't hire these bumble scumps, and then when it doesn't work, we don't know why it didn't work. Women's viewership habits are changing. It's like, give me a fucking break. Soap operas are still popular. Grey's Anatomy is a soap opera. The Good Wife is a soap opera. Why can't they be popular on daytime? It's because these people have a inferiority complex. It's like, oh my God, I'm working for a sub. Oh God, I should be working for the Style Channel. You know, get them out of there. Get out!
Jillian, final thoughts on All My Children's Week?
Well, how do you top that?
You don't.
How do you go after that? I mean, I would hope Prospect Park has the sense not to hire the PR people. I would think they have their own PR people. So why bring in, you know, why carry sand to the beach is what I say. You know, why bring sand to the beach? So I don't think they would be cray enough to, you know, breaking news, Lori Hogan. I think I would. Anyway, I just think that Prospect Park just needs to get it together with, you know, trying to work it out with Lelouchi. Please work it together with Lelouchi. Frank, we know Frank can finesse. Frank can finesse a nun to work on the corner, so I'm hoping he can finesse Lelouchi to be like, come on, Susan, do this for your boy, Frank. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, they're on the right path with that. I'm skeptical of them hiring soap writers from the past. I mean, that is also what has gotten this genre in trouble, too, by rehiring people from the past.
Hiring bad ones. Tom Racina and Sally Sussman Marina had good track records. Yeah,
but so did McTavish. She did some good work.
Yeah, she did good work years ago, but they didn't ever kill the main heroine with a pancake. They're, you know, not all, I mean, this is a very specific genre. You can't have just anyone. I mean, it needs someone. I want new blood, but no, what I'm saying is you can't have David Kreisman's or people like that have continually killed shows. But Tom Racina is the man who created the super couple. He created Luke and Laura. I mean, everybody always mentions Gloria Monty. I'm meaning the people who are left alive that are still of Agnes's caliber. I'm meaning the people who have actually done good for daytime, you know, like Tom and Sally. There's a few of them left out there. While what's his name? Wisner.
I know. Yeah.
I can never say his name. There are several out there that, you know, I read in We Love Soaps that he left because of Megan McTavish. She ran him out. You know, there are people who loved this genre and who got it, who were put out to pasture so that ass monkeys could could.
What? What? Okay, Reagan, final thoughts on All My Children's final week.
I have to say, I was pleasantly surprised with how happy I was with the final week. I thought I would be disappointed, and I wasn't. I think they did a pretty darn good job. And I don't really have anything to complain about. I'm looking forward to seeing where it goes next. So,
well, on that note, we hope that you have enjoyed this episode, and we will see All My Children in January. Until next time, so long.
Bye.
I am calling to say that today was a sad day at the finale of All My Children, but hoping when it gets picked up on Prospect Park on the internet, it will do well. And I don't like seeing all these reality shows. We have so many problems in our lives, and these stupid reality shows, there's no need for them, all of them. And to take away a famous soap and then to take away One Life to Live and... you know, it's ridiculous, totally ridiculous. And my other favorite soap is Young and the Restless and Bold and the Beautiful. I actually watch all of them because I record them all. So, and now they're saying that that's dropped in the ratings. Well, I think Les Moonves is crazy wrong, and he's not making good decisions, even with the talk. He got rid of Holly and Leah, which were really good people on there, and I missed them, and so now I'm not watching it anymore, and I'm not going to watch The Chew because I'm boycotting ABC. So it's just not fair, and Brian Franz made a total big mistake. They could find money for everything else, but, you know, they couldn't find money for that, so, and it's just a horrible, horrible situation, and, you know, there's many of us who record the shows during the day and watch them at night at our leisure, so doesn't that count for anything? I guess not. And that's it. It's just been a sad day all around, and I hope to God that the remaining soaps stay on and maybe somebody can work with One Life to Live and, you know, keep them on the air. And, you know, and like I said, I hope on the internet All My Children does well because I'll be watching. Thank you.
I do like the ending of All My Children. Only thing that I wish you guys would have did, you should have each family get like a season finale like you did when GR pointed the gun, Jack walked out. I think each family should came up with a different plot where they can leave it open if you decided to bring it back. So that way that when it comes back, the Hubbards, the Chandlers, the Martins, when I mean the Martins, not about Ted and Dixie got married. I mean with something like more dramatic. But that's my opinion. I think it was good. I think it should have been more. And that's my opinion. Thank you.
Hi, gang. I discovered your podcast about 2 years ago. I was a soap watcher from the time I was a baby. I can remember when Erica Kane was married to Phil Brent. That was a long time ago. And I'm only 49 years old, so I've been watching soaps for quite some time. And I really had gotten a little disgusted a few years ago. And after I discovered your podcast, I started getting interested in daytime again. And at one time, I've watched pretty much every soap on the air. And watching All My Children this week, the last couple of weeks have just been phenomenal. And I guess I'm just going to say something that I've heard Jamie say on your podcast, and I'm just going to repeat it. Why, oh why, does it have to take a cancellation notice for these shows to give our their fans what they want? It was a great week. Agnes and Lorraine Broderick at the helm and having to tie up all these crazy stories, and it was just compelling great television, and I just feel badly that it had to go off the air to reach this point. I guess that's all I have to say. I am definitely going to be following All My Children online and One Life to Live also. So thank you for all your good works that you guys do and the positive publicity that you bring to the genre and the constructive criticism, and I thank you very much.
I'm calling about the last All My Children show. I wish you guys had spent a little more time advertising that it's going to continue on the internet, because it just kind of sounds like it's all over and we're never going to see it again. So maybe you could start like running some ads for Prospect Park and letting people know that this show is going to continue on. That's all I have to say. Bye.
I was not happy with the final episode of All My Children. It kind of left you up in the air and with an unhappy message from Erica's character, and it didn't please me at all. Thank you.
I was just calling about today's final All My Children. I have to say that I would say out of 10, I would give it maybe a 4 out of 10. It was just, I don't know, how can you not, on the very last show, on the very last day, have Erica Kane in the room? She should have been giving the final toast to Pine Valley, not Tad. And or it could have been Dr. Joe, because either of them are the original members. But to have Erica and Jackson running around the house and JR hiding in the closet, I don't know. It was just disappointing to me. Like, all that could have been dealt with beforehand, but on the very last day, in the very last scene, they should have all been in the room together, laughing, having a party, and it should have went out on a high, happy note. And I guess I would say I was generally disappointed in the way it was wound up, and it just seemed like they really rushed everything these last few weeks. Like, lots of good things happened, but it all just seemed so fast, and I think they could have started out, you know, a month or two ago and made it all more gradual instead of some of the silliness that's been going on. Just concentrate on the main characters. And, so those are my comments on today's closing of All My Children. Just basically 4 out of 10, missed the mark. I think The View did a better job saying goodbye today than All My Children did. And there was one more thing I was going to say. Oh, right, and I thought it was really cheesy, the whole... Jackson at the door, frankly, I don't give a damn. Like, you know, their whole spin on Gone with the Wind just didn't cut it for me. So all in all, after watching for whatever I said, 35, 36 years, I was of the 41, I... disappointed to see it go off the air. I think ABC is making a huge mistake. If the writing could have been up to what it's been the last few months, over the last few years, there wouldn't have been a drop in viewership. And what I think that ABC deliberately ran that show into the ground so they could cancel it and say, oh, look, nobody's watching. Well, the reason people weren't watching was the poor writing. And let's just see if ABC gets off the hook on that, because I will no longer be watching that, whatever they're putting on to substitute All My Children. And I doubt that I'll even be watching ABC. I'm so pissed off at them.
Oh, I love the way y'all ended the show. It's still a question mark. I thought it was great, and it was really nice seeing all of the old people coming back to it. And it wasn't a happy ever after, but it was a question mark at the end of who did what next. I really enjoy it. and I will not be watching whatever show they are putting on in y'all place.
Yes, hi, I'm calling about the ending of All My Children today. I was majorly disappointed. I understand they had to have a cliffhanger, but it was a poor cliffhanger. Is that the build-up all week, including The View this morning, was way much better, and I cried a lot more than watching the last episode of All My Children. Big, big disappointment. The best ending for soaps in the last 3 years has been Guiding Light, and but I will definitely miss All My Children. Thank you. Bye.
Yes, my message is regarding the broadcast finale of All My Children. I was really disappointed. I thought it ended with a thud rather than with, you know, a wonderful ending. And I was halfway through, I kind of couldn't believe. I thought JR's plane might be, you know, heading to Pine Valley to crash into Pine Valley. But then it just kind of really wound up with what I thought was a door slamming. It didn't even sound like a gun going off. But I felt like, wow, it was kind of pathetic. But I don't know if I'll be moving on online to watch anything, especially a soap. But I do hope that all those actors and people who worked on the show have a bright future. 41 years is a long time. But I wish the finale had been better.
Yes, good afternoon. I just saw this series finale for All My Children. I have been watching the show since the early 70s. I'm a 45-year-old man, and it's terrible. It's like a loss in the family. Such a great, great show. And it's sad that it strayed away from what made it great in the 80s and early 90s to just a shadow of what it once was. But I thank you folks at Daytime Confidential for informing us of this and getting as many people out there to try to save our soaps as possible. Thank you. Bye.
Not thrilled with the ending of All My Children. I understand why they did it, but it just felt like if he was going to shoot any one person in particular, he should have just shot that person. He had one gun. How many bullets in that one gun? We know everybody that can die. But it was very touching with Tad speaking. So, you know, it was a little bittersweet. All right. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm calling about the AMC finale. It just ended here, and so I thought it was really good. It's really tying up some loose ends and leaving some loose ends loose. I really hoped like maybe like a more better fitting ending like Guiding Light had, but I guess it's fine because it is moving online. But I thought it was a pretty good finale. Thanks. Bye.
I just want to say I really enjoyed the final episode of All My Children today. It was great seeing Adam and Brooke and all my faves and a wonderful party. And I thought the cliffhanger was excellent. It was Jackson pretty much dumping Erica, and then we don't know who was shot or who died. I really wanted to see what's going to happen in January. So, well, it was very sad to see my favorite show go off the air. At least in my heart, I know it's going to be back. And it's going to be back in January. I don't know who it's going to be, but all in all, I enjoyed the ABC series finale. And bravo to Lorraine Broderick and to Agnes Nixon. This show has given me so much joy in the 21 years I've watched it. When I sat down with my mother when I was 6 years old in 1990, and I've watched it on and off since then, and it will always have a part of my heart, always. But that's just how I feel about it. Thank you. Bye.
Hi, I'm calling about the finale of All My Children, which I thought was a great send-off. Actually, the whole week was. The Brooke-Erica reunion at Fusion was wonderful. The two women have such chemistry, and the characters have such history that it was a great break to their past, and I'm kind of hopeful. And so with Prospect Park, I hope they figure out a way to get both of them on, even if they're both recurring. I also have to say, I think The View did a great, great hour for the show. I really liked The View more than I liked the finale of All My Children, although it was good. I don't know really what I was expecting. I wasn't disappointed by any means, but yet, I don't know. It was good, but that's about it. And I'm looking forward to hearing about more and more actors and actresses who are going to be crossing over to Prospect Park and, you know, letting the show blaze another frontier on the internet.
Hi, Lisa. This is Natalie calling in from Minneapolis, reacting to the final episode of All My Children. It was an amazing send-off, and I'm so sad that the show has to end because this is my grandma's soap, and it was the first soap that I ever started watching, actually, as an awkward little kid just trying to escape for an hour a day. So really sad that it had to come to an end, but I just want to thank the cast and the amazing crew behind the scenes who made the show what it was. And I want to thank Agnes for so many wonderful memories and really making a difference in my family and the family of so many other people out there. So I just want to say goodbye.
Hi. I'm really sorry that All My Children is going off the air, but I'm definitely looking forward to it when it comes back online. And the only thing I feel bad about is that there was a shooting at the end of the episode and we don't know what it was they shot. It would be nice if they could put something on the computer about that. I'd be interested in it. Thank you.
I just got to say, up until the last second of All My Children, I was hooked, but then I was pissed. Half the cast is leaving. Half of them aren't coming back. How are they going to do that cliffhanger when they go to the web, when Jacob Young has already started on Bold and the Beautiful? I mean, how are they going to just... It was wrong. They shouldn't have ended it like that. There are a lot of people that won't be watching it on the web, and I think that they should have done a better job for the people that won't be following. Just my opinion.
Hi, this is Chris, and I wanted to comment on the AMC finale episode. Overall, I did not fully enjoy it. There were some amazing moments. I liked the opening. I liked Tab Martin's speech, which I thought was very poignant and emotional. And I liked everyone getting dressed up at the Chandler Mansion and all of that. But I was disappointed by several things, which I was really surprised about. One was the JR issue. I feel as if JR has been written ridiculously into the ground as this redeemable alcoholic, and I felt kind of sad that him being a legacy character, being the child of two legacy characters, was not front and center in that party with the general public of the town. That really bothered me. Also, the idea of a whodunit, someone getting shot at the end, we don't know who. That's fine. It's very prime time as well. It wasn't as soapy ending as I thought it would be, but I was very confused by that because you see Erica walking across, but we all know that Susan Lucci said that she wasn't going to the online AMC. So I don't really see why that's such a big deal. Has she shot some episodes prior? Is she going to wrap up that storyline? That didn't really make any sense to me, as well as there not being any type of closure with Debbie Morgan's character, Angela, because we know she's going to Y&R, and the same thing with Jacob Young. He's in there in a wall. Like, that was his last scene on AMC, was in a wall, because I heard that he will be returning to B&B fairly soon. So I felt that those characters were just, I don't know, bad. Oh, and I also love the fact that Jack finally got his balls out of Erica's purse and told her, you know, he wasn't going to be her second choice anymore. I really appreciated that. But overall, for a show that I've watched for 25 years, since I was a kid, that was kind of a letdown for a finale. I know it will return, but overall, that wasn't the way I would have liked to have seen the television run end. Hopefully, One Life to Live will learn from AMC's mistakes and give us something better. Thanks for listening, guys, and keep up the good work. Bye.
Hi, I'm calling about today's episode of the All My Children finale. It was a classic episode, done perfectly, good, all the actors. characters come together. I just loved it. I'm going to miss All My Children so much. It was a sad ending. It was so good to see all the characters together. Everybody's so loving, caring. Friends, you've been family for 41 years. Good to see everybody again in this one episode. I hope to see all my children. Well, I will continue to follow no matter what. I've been a fan since the 1980s. I will miss everyone, the Martins, the Kanes, the Cortland, everybody. All my children, we're going to miss all my children so much. I just want to say thank you for supporting our soap online, too. Thank you so much, Dear Time Confidential, for all these comments posted, being on your website. A lot of information, good information. And thank you. I've been so sad, but it was a sad day. Kind of stressed out about it still. Watch it over and over again. I DVR recorded it. Just thank you very much. Well, tune on online. Thank you. Bye.
Hi, guys. I really loved the All My Children finale. I think it's my favorite soap finale that I've seen, except maybe the Ryan's Hope finale. I thought it was heartwarming. The opening was just inspired, showing the generations that we've come to see over the decades. And I thought it was great leaving it with a cliffhanger. And even if, God forbid, the show didn't go on, which I think it will in January, I think it's great to end it not resolved. I mean, this is a soap opera. We don't want it to end. I don't want full closure. I want there always to be a new story. So anyway, I loved the heartwarming bits. I loved the suspense. I thought it really couldn't have been done much better. I thought Erica's behavior was totally in character. I loved it. I look forward to the web show and look forward to watching it again a couple times this weekend. All right. Bye.
Hi, this is Roslyn. I'm from Tampa, Florida, and I just finished watching the finale of All My Children. It was beautiful, sad, and it reminded me of the old days. Everyone gathered together for a party and something bad happens at the end. It wasn't as bad at the end. I knew what was going to happen. I had a feeling. It wasn't as bad. I don't know who got it. I can't wait to January. But it was a beautiful, touching last episode, and I'm glad I took the day off from work so I can watch it. And I don't know if All My Children, whatever, the cast and crew, ever listen to this, but I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm 37 years old, and I grew up watching All My Children. I wasn't looking forward to this day, but it was worth the wait. I loved it. I taped it. I'm going to watch it over and over and over, and I'm going to miss on Monday when I don't have nothing to watch at 1 o'clock. Thank you, and Godspeed.
Yeah. I want to let you know that I thought All My Children did great today. And I just want to let you know that I hope to see it back on air again. Thank you very much, and have a great day. Bye.
Hi, guys. I'm a 39-year viewer of All My Children and had mixed feelings about the last episode today. Was shocked that they ended it that way, but also, now that I think about it, kind of happy because it leaves us with a cliffhanger to look forward to in January when it starts airing on the Internet, which I plan to watch faithfully. Thanks so much for offering this hotline, and I look forward to seeing All My Children and all the stars in January. Bye.